This is the Steve Gruber Show on the Michigan Talk Network.
Sometimes you got to cut through the clutter. Sometimes you got to have somebody on board with you that just speaks clearly, black and white, and no wiggle room. That's very true of my next guest, U.S. Congressman Paul Gosar, who is serving his fourth term in Congress from Arizona's 4th Congressional District. He's been here before. Glad to have him back. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Let me start with this, because we've been hearing rumors for the last couple of days and really getting loud now. Paul Ryan's on his way out. And apparently that's the rumor going all over Capitol Hill, and that Steve Scalise will be the guy who will come in behind him to take over as Speaker of the House. What are you hearing? What do you know?
Well, we've heard rumors, Steve. I mean, you know, this concept of the story was actually floated back in December, and the Speaker put it to rest. But, you know, when you pass a budget like we just did, the crap sandwich, it really tells you that maybe there's some reality to the story.
So you think it's possible because of all the blowback, really, from this $1.3 trillion boondoggle of an omnibus spending bill. It's not even a budget, it's just a spending bill, as you know, that maybe it's time for Paul Ryan to go. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it was Christmas in March for the bureaucrats is what it was, Steve. I mean, every wish list that you wanted to get, if you were a Democrat, you got. You know, so I don't know how you can look at yourself in a mirror and say you're conservative in the principles that went forward on this, particularly looking back at the history of this deal. You had the Chuck Schumer shutdown, and then they wanted to come out of there. Why wouldn't you have separated the military from your discretionary spending? We asked for it. We demanded it, and they did nothing of the sort. And so when you end up with this crap sandwich, as I put it, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, that shows you leadership doesn't reign within the halls of Congress.
I'm guessing if you and I were hunting quail, you know, there in Arizona, we might use different terminology. But for here on the radio, that'll be just fine for today, Congressman. I greatly appreciate that. But you're right. So here's my question, and I'll just be blunt about it, and you can answer it or not. But, I mean, because I'm gonna ask my Congressman the same questions when I get Wahlberg and Bishop and the guys back here. Listen, are you okay if Ryan's gone? Do you think the Congress would be better off? Would the House be better off if you had Steve Scalise or somebody else in charge that's more willing to dig their feet in and fight? Because, you know, blaming the filibuster or any other rule they can find for putting this thing through, you know, they're not short on excuses. So would you be okay, sir, if Paul Ryan decided to pack it up and leave?
Well, I would, Steve, but it's only short of half the goal, and that is Mitch McConnell. And that is that we see a non-complacent type of individual trying to lead the Senate. You know, Chuck Schumer actually runs the Senate. You know, we're held up in our nominees and our confirmation processes. We allow them to dictate the process and the patterns, you know, instead of utilizing some things at our disposal over there in the Senate. You know, I look at Senator Cornyn actually made the comment. He had a microphone thrust in his face, and he said, listen, this process really works when it's all done by four people. So, you know, half the blame is Paul Ryan. The other half of the blame is Mitch McConnell. And it's high time that we start making some changes in the Senate.
You know, I hear that, you know, the Republicans betrayed America when this was passed. But I don't think that's fair. I think that they all betrayed America. You know, and the Democrats somehow get a pass on the narrative because Republicans don't like it, and the people that voted for Republicans don't like it, and the supporters of Donald Trump clearly don't like this bill. But didn't they all betray America?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were crying about, you know, spending money we didn't have, you know, not unaccountable expenditures, and look at what they did. I mean, a half a billion dollars to a tunnel to somewhere or maybe to nowhere, a takings of $1 billion in California, fully fund sanctuary cities, fully fund Planned Parenthood. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable what's in this bill. And the more we read, the more we just put our heads on the table. And
let me ask you this. Congressman Paul Gosar here from Arizona. Let me ask you this, Paul. Are you angry with the president, or did he really have his hands tied here? Because, I mean, the military needed the funding, as he said, but he didn't seem very pleased about this, but he signed it anyway, and he caught a lot of blowback himself for signing it. Do you think that he was in a, I mean, was he in a corner?
Well, I think there's always a corner, there's always a way out, and that is drag our rear ends back. You know, we asked him to, you know, there was a number of us that asked him to veto the darn thing and start pulling this together. But this actually shows you how the swamp actually now works. You know, there's no difference between leadership from one side to the next. There's no resolve to get a good process, Steve, because good process builds good policy, builds good politics. And that's what we're sorely in need of, is good process, because it will set us free. And so I don't think he was back in a corner. I think the military really needed the help. But you know what? Sometimes you get quicker help when you cast that lot that says, no, this is bad. This is bad no matter
how. Okay, well, here's what he said.
Because he could have turned it back on them by saying, Admiral Mullen told us that, you know, our biggest problem is going to be our deficits. Come on, guys.
There's no question the debt's is a killer, and it has to be paid at some point. But here's what he said, did Donald Trump. He said, come September, I won't do this again. I'm doing this one time. And then after that, it's over. So let me ask you this. When it comes next time, if he refuses to sign an omnibus bill like this or something similar, and it leads to a government shutdown, you know, a few weeks out from the midterm elections, what happens then?
Yeah, there you have it, Steve. You know, now he's back in a further corner because we've already given a pass to the Senate, because the budget deal allowed a 2-year budget window so that the Senate doesn't have to do this appropriation bill. So we're going to be back at this again, which is even the worst application is that there's no incentive for the Senate to take up one single appropriation bill. And that's what's sad about this whole deal, because this actually squarely puts the onus back on the president.
So why are people like McConnell?
Because it's at the wrong time.
Why do people like Mitch McConnell refuse to do their duty, refuse to step up and do what they promised to do, which was cut spending, cut the deficit, and therefore address the debt in this country? Why do they refuse to do it?
I don't know, Steve. You know, it's business as usual. I mean, you look at everything that goes on in the Senate. You know, you don't start a strategy when there's a May Day. You start it from the very beginning. You know, so when Chuck Schumer balked and was saying that 30 hours were required for every nominee, wouldn't it have been nice to have a majority leader that said, you know, Chuck, I'm glad you picked that poison, because you can tell the rest of your senators, guess what? We're going to bring out the beds, the IVs, and the medics, and we're going to go 24/7 until we get these conferees for this president. Yes, they have to be qualified, but we're going to make sure that he gets the people in at the right places at the right time, and you're going to pay for it. And by the way, Chuck, there's 24 of you running for re-election. There's only 10 of us running for re-election, so take that kind of poison. Wouldn't that have been nice to start showing a protocol that the work was not going to go on as usual?
But it did anyway. You know, Paul, I think Senator Paul Gosar would sound better, you know, from the state of Arizona compared to what we, and it's, you're straight up and to the point. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, there he is. Our future senator from the state of Arizona, I'd like to thank anyhow. 41 after on the Steve Gerber Show.